This podcast is sponsored by Canaccord Genuity Wealth Management, award-winning wealth managers who go above and beyond to support and guide you. Visit candowealth.com to start building your wealth with confidence.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Isabel Harbin and I'm joined by Katie Balls and James Forsyth. Well, Westminster is only semi back at work. The House of Commons is still in recess, but MPs, apart from Boris Johnson, are no doubt very busy in their constituencies at the moment. Over the weekend, we've had a row about the ongoing energy price rises and energy intensive industries that are worried they may have to actually shut down their manufacturing bases in this country in the next few days. Katie, things got pretty tense over the weekend between the Treasury and Kwasi Kwarteng, the business secretary, didn't they?
Yeah, it was pretty unusual in the sense that you had Kwasi Kwarteng doing the morning round on Sunday, talking about the fact that we've had lots of warnings from industry figures suggesting that some factories, some businesses will have to close within days if they don't get assistance from the government due to this sharp rise, 250% increase in this year in terms of gas prices. And Kwasi Kwarteng was saying that he was talking to the Chancellor about what they could do. And this received quite a quick and brutal response by a Treasury source who suggested, say, to be crystal clear, no discussions are taking place between the Treasury and the business secretary. And went one further by also saying this isn't the first time he has, freelanced in public appearances to suggest things are happening that are not. Now, we haven't had much in the way of kickback from Kwasi Kwarteng or his team. I think they're obviously quite keen for this one to die out. But I think it points to two things. One, tensions between the Treasury and the business department. I think that there is a sense amongst the Treasury that Kwasi Kwarteng often freelances in their view when he is doing these public appearances, and they think that, you know, they're saying more than is happening and more than they want people to know, and that leads them into feeling as though they're being bounced into a position, potentially a bailout in this case. And then two, what does this actually mean in terms of what's going to happen with the gas price? I think it's pretty clear that the Chancellor is quite reluctant to step in, and I think this goes to a fear amongst ministers that we have a situation where no one is sure how long these gas prices are going to be high for. And if this is actually months and months, you know, potentially a year of going up, is that something the government wants to step in and take on? If it is, you know, not just a two-week blip, but again, just adding to that sense that when it comes to the effing crisis the government is facing of energy, food and fuel, it's looking trickier because it is going to, if there is no, bailout or big action, you can start to see how it's going to get quite choppy.
James, a bailout would be very, very expensive because energy prices aren't just high for this week, are they? They look set to be high for the rest of the winter.
Yeah, and Boris Johnson said on his visit to the UN, this is a temporary price spike. Now, it might be temporary in terms of not a structurally permanent increase in energy prices, but most people might think by temporary took that to mean kind of a few weeks, not a few months, or as Katie said, even a year. I think the crucial thing to see this is in the context of two coming events, one past, one future. The past is the COVID bailouts. And I think that what a lot of people in government worry about is that COVID and all the business support granted during that has created precedents. And if, for example, energy intensive industries have to shut down because they can't, it's not economic to produce at this price, that, you know, the cry goes up, well, these jobs would be viable in normal times, so why don't we have another furlough, son of furlough, to provide support to these people? Whereas in previous times, I think that you would have expected, you know, management and the unions to come and try and settle on some kind of support package for the workforce. There would now be pressure on the government to step in. The second thing, which I think is coming down the track, is we know that the European Commission is going to present proposals to EU member states on the Commission stepping in and buying gas and then essentially distributing it, which would obviously be a very unfree market thing to do, essentially going down the same route that China has gone down, that we write about in the cover story of the magazine this week. And I think that there are people in the UK government who worry that that demand is coming here, that people will say, why don't you buy up energy and then distribute it, obviously at a loss, to energy intensive industries and other firms? Because remember that this energy price cap that we all talk about, that applies to households, but it doesn't apply to businesses. And that affects, it doesn't just affect, obviously, at the most extreme end, it affects energy intensive industries. But it affects, you know, your local cafe is now paying massively more for energy than it was before. And so these two factors are coming together to create a lot of nervousness in government. And then that leads on to, how many factors can we get in here? A third factor, which is, as Katie said, inflation. How much is this going to push up inflation? You know, already before this, the gas price went up as radically as it has done in the last few weeks, the Bank of England were talking about 4% inflation by the end of the year. There are now cabinet ministers talking about 6% inflation by the end of the year. And if inflation gets really high, it's likely that the bank raises rates. And that would be, we have a already weakening recovery. To raise rates on that could cause some real economic trouble.
Katie, how much of a sense is there of an actual plan for all of this? Boris Johnson, when he was interviewed about the pig crisis, one of the many crises that's facing this government at the moment, last week said, let's see what happens, as though he was sort of hoping that something might turn up in sort of Mr. Micawber style. Is that the government's approach? Is it partly because the government doesn't want to get involved and is trying to sort of tough it out until businesses realise what's happening? Or are they in a bit of a panic?
I think it's a combination of things. I think the government is clearly less concerned about being the friend of business than previous Tory governments have been. And I think there's a sense, a little bit of the boy who cried wolf on some of this stuff, in the sense that if you think back to Boris Johnson's, you know, F business comments and all the warnings over Brexit, I think that when we're hearing, even in this case, you know, the industry have warned, you know, weeks in advance on things like shortages of drivers, how you need to get more licenses, the fact that they're worried about fuel prices having this effect. I think there is a slight wariness sometimes in this government to take this exactly at its word. I think there's another thing going on here, which is Boris Johnson sees this as a period of transition, which goes to the labour shortages and something you have to ride through. But clearly, we're talking about lots of different things here. So on the one hand, you have the pigs, but on the other hand, the energy crisis, I don't think is seen as something you have to bear on out, and then you get to this high-wage economy. It's a separate thing. But I think from being at Tory conference last week, we were all there, and it just does not feel as though the government has been particularly concerned about a lot of this stuff. I think there is a sense that if you look at Boris Johnson's comments, that lots of this will blow over, and I do think they're starting to take it more seriously. But you just need to look at how Boris Johnson has been talking about Christmas. I think it's a good timeline into, you know, as looking initially, it's, oh, there's nothing to worry about with Christmas. Christmas is saved. Christmas will be fine. Then it was, oh, Christmas will be better than last Christmas. Fairly low bar for most of us. And then it was, we're bringing in a new person, a new top hire to do supply chains whose job is to save Christmas. So I do think the gravity of these problems all coming together is starting to hit. Obviously, the Prime Minister is on holiday this week. But I think actually the recent appointments of people to kind of ease with this same mall and the fact he's gone to Spain.
I think one of the things we will look back on from Tory conferences, how bizarre it was of the government to almost embrace the shortages. These shortages are happening pretty much everywhere. You look in the US, the reports are that there won't be enough turkeys for Thanksgiving, because essentially what COVID was both a supply and a demand shock combined. And demand has bounced back much more strongly than supply, much more rapidly than supply has. And I think we will look back and wonder why the government thought taking kind of ownership of these shortages as almost a positive was a good thing. We will look back on that very puzzled, I think, as the autumn and the winter go on, because the government has suggested that it has more responsibility for this crisis, I think, than it actually does. I mean, you know, at the moment, lots of the problems are caused by the fact that ships can't get into Long Beach Port in California, or ports in China have been shut down because of COVID cases. The government has no control over those, but it's tried to suggest almost that these shortages are somehow you know, proof that something has changed since Brexit. And I think we will look back and be very puzzled by why they chose to embrace the shortages.
Katie, where are Labour on this?
Well, Labour are focusing in on the bickering. So, and I think,
well, they know all about bickering, don't they?
So, they know all about it. And obviously, it's the easiest thing to do. It's the simplest issue. So you saw after the hostile briefing from the Treasury, I think you had Bridget Phillipson out from the Shadow Treasury team, ultimately making the case that how could the country be fallen to a prime minister who's away on holiday and ministers who can't behave themselves in public, and the country deserves more. You often hear Labour saying the country deserves more. But as for what they actually deserve in the form of Labour policy is a little bit more grey. And I think we're hearing from Labour on things like shortages, that they want to go for more visas, something that's obviously been weaponised by the Tories. But I think it's interesting for now that that ultimately the main Labour attack line is trying to pick Tory chaos rather than come forward and say this is Keir Starmer's vision for the country. It may be that things get so choppy, that's all they actually really need to do, and then they have the space to make their voice heard on an actual plan.
Thank you, Katie. Thank you, James. And thank you for listening.